Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. We're going to sing the chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith," tonight once again, because do we ever need to do that? The nearer we are to the Lord's coming, and we're not getting any farther from it. We're getting closer every day under the coming of the Lord. So let's walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm glad for all of you that are here tonight for this Bible study. And we also have a baptism tonight. Our dear friend Bill, originally from Fond du Lac, and currently living in the Los Angeles area and planning to move back here. And he has his lovely wife with him. We're glad to have her. She's originally from Thailand. And let's see, her name is Sue Wee Mon, right? I got it. Okay. All right. You can call her Sue, she said, so that's a little easier. But we're glad they're here with us tonight. Praise the Lord. And Bill has been, and I believe Sue also, have been listening on the Pal Talk. Is that right? And we're able to minister by that means. Thank God for Brian and Robert and the others that have helped us with all of this, because we are reaching out to a lot of people. And Bill has been listening to the messages, and he is excited about getting baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's an exciting thing, isn't it? Yes, and thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I was talking to Sue before the service, and she was telling me about her experience when God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she... of course, she speaks the Thai language and very good English, really. But I don't know what she was speaking in, something she hadn't learned. And God just really poured out the Holy Ghost on. That's awesome, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Just like in the Bible. And that's the way it ought to be, just like in the Bible. As the Lord said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive afterward. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But we know he has been glorified, and he is pouring out the Holy Ghost." Amen. And I'll tell you, that's one good way to be filled with the Spirit of God, is to glorify him. Amen. Well, we are opening our Bibles. By the way, this Sunday is our fellowship dinner after the service, and I know that, according to plan anyway, we're going to have some people here from Illinois once again, and I'm not sure about those from way up near Tomahawk. They're coming sometime this month. I don't know if it'll be this weekend or not, but praise the Lord, we're always looking forward to a great time in the Lord. And, you know, I really don't know what we'd do without Him. You know, His power is so comforting, so awesome. The love of God is so much greater than you and I can ever imagine. You know, it's like the ocean. You can see where it begins, but you can't see where it ends. That's how the love of God is. And I'll tell you what, it's when you begin to realize how merciful, compassionate, how full of loving kindness He is, He's so misrepresented by some churches that make him look like he's out to get you. Hey, if God was out to get you, you'd be gotten long ago. You'd be gone because he loved us. And we love him because he first loved us. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're going to continue on in our study in Hebrews chapter 11. And we were talking about Moses. I know I got a little ways into that in chapter, right up around chapter 23 and a little beyond. But I'd like to start at 23 tonight, but not before we pray. And you know, as we sit here and listen to the Word of God being taught, we need to realize that Jesus is very much present with us, and he is a very present help in trouble. So if anybody here is having trouble with anything, you just yield your heart to God. And as you listen, reach out to him and communicate with him as you hear. You know, prayer, for an example. Prayer is not just what you talking at God. Prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. It's a dialogue. When you speak to the Lord in faith, you will also hear from him. And that's an awesome thing. It really is. So, we're going to pray and ask for his help right now. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity we have tonight in these last of the last days to be able to open thy holy book together and to know that thou art still working and dealing with the hearts of men. We thank thee for this baptism tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for another day when another soul will be baptized. This is so precious. And it means, oh, Lord, that thy spirit is still working among men. And I pray, oh, God, that thou wouldst help us all tonight to glorify thy name in all that we hear and all the great and wonderful things about thy word. And, oh, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be yielded, that thou wouldst speak to us, that we would have ears to hear. Let thy name be praised and glorified. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to interfere with us in any way. And let thy name be praised and exalted. And let the evil one have no ability to hinder us. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. By the way, we have Pal Talk again tomorrow night. We go on the internet for a question and answer session. So if you want to get on your computer at home and you don't know how to do that, we can let you know. If you want to become a part of our live studio audience, because we set up right in here, you can come and listen to the questions and answers. And what's really amazing is I don't know what anybody's going to ask. I have to be absolutely yielded to God and spontaneous in the Spirit to answer these questions. But you're welcome to come with your questions and sit right here in the auditorium and be a part of this. Otherwise, you're certainly welcome to join us online. And we are reaching out to a good number of people. I just praise God for it. Some from as far away as Australia. So, you know, these are the days when technology, which is so much used by the devil, can be used by God also. And we can invade that territory, just like when the Apostle Paul went into the marketplace where they had idols and all these heathen things going on. He went right in the marketplace and brought them the gospel. Well, we'll go right into that marketplace of the internet and we'll bring them the gospel. Personally, I hate computers. But we'll use them as God allows us to. I guess maybe, is that a sign that I'm old, that I hate computers? Anybody here have a particular affection for your computer? Do you get up in the morning and hug it? Do you put a little piece of cheese in front of the mouse at night? Are you really infatuated with that machine? I thank God that we can go into this thing with the gospel and do some good with it. Because, boy, there is a lot of rot on that thing. The internet is terrible. But anyway, thank God that we have the ability by the Spirit to reach out, and he'll help us. Now, we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11 with verse 23. You know, this chapter is called the chapter of faith. Faith is so powerful that all of the gifts of God working with it can bring the answer to any problem you're going to have. Does anybody here have a problem tonight? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Anybody have any concerns at all? Or is life just absolutely rosy for you? Couldn't be better. Huh? No, no, no. We all face trouble. In fact, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Apostle Paul talked about his friends that were sick. Timothy had oft infirmities. Why? Well, God allowed it to happen, but it made him into a beautiful spiritual person. I know with the health problems I had encountered, and I'm still dealing with one right now, with a very sensitive left foot, I'll tell you what, God has shown me things through that I don't think I could ever have seen any other way. And so when you have a problem, give God the glory for it. Amen. The Lord taught Israel that as long as they complained, we don't have any water, we don't have any meat, we don't have this, we want onions, we want garlic, we want, you know, the Egyptian blah, stuff, you know. I can honestly say I wouldn't have been one of those. I have an onion allergy that would next to kill me if I got near them, because it's anaphylactic, my throat closes up and I can't breathe, and so I can't get near onions at all. So I wouldn't have been one of those that would have said, oh, I want to go back for the onions. No, not that. Amen. So they wanted the onions, the leeks, the garlic. They wanted meat. They wanted this. They wanted that. And they didn't learn for a long time to not complain. God had them walking in circles, round and around and around, instead of getting straight to their destination. And I'll tell you what, if we learn to not complain, there's so much to complain about. But if we can learn to not do that, then our help is on the way. Amen. Just accept what God gives you. The Apostle Paul said, I am content. I've learned to be content. Whatever state I'm in. Why? Because if your circumstances are bad, God will change them. Amen. I believe it. You know, I really do believe what he said. You know, I look around at his creation, everything he made, all of these beautiful things did not get here by accident nor by chance, but by design. And the one who designed all the trees, the flowers, the sky, everything, is the one who wants to come and dwell within my heart always. And he is able to do all things. He is willing to help you. We have to get our flesh out of the way. God's not like us. Aren't you glad? I'm glad God is not like me. And I'm glad God is not like any of you. Come on. I think we can all appreciate that, can't we? He's so much greater. If we could see everything that God sees going on in this world, and you had the power to do something about it, boy, we don't have a world left. God is so merciful, and I'm glad he was merciful long enough for us to come and approach him and receive his salvation. And he's still merciful. He's still saving. Oh, it's awesome. But we must be yielded to God to receive what he has for us. Prayer doesn't change God because God doesn't change. Prayer changes us so that it makes us ready to receive what he already wants to give us. I was preaching about how we are a candle. Remember last Sunday? How we are like a candle as Christians because we are consuming ourselves in order to give light unto others. And that's what Jesus did. He consumed himself to give us light. And when he was on the cross and that consummation was complete, the earth was covered with darkness. But then came forth the light of the new covenant, of the new creation. And we need something far more than what this world has. Had you noticed how it's falling apart? Crumbling? I just saw the state of Arizona has put their Capitol building up for sale. The capital of the state. They need the money. Most people don't sell their property unless they're absolutely flat busted. And the state of Arizona obviously is. California is. They're just not admitting it. Not even their IOUs are any good anymore. In every place that you look, there's trouble. Now they're threatening us again with a swine flu thing, and oh, it's a pandemic, and the military is geared up for it. And the Vatican City, Rome, the place of all the popery, the Pope's domain, they offered the catacombs as a burial place for people who are going to die from the swine flu. Remember, the catacombs, of course, are where the early Christians, martyrs, are supposed to be buried. Now they offered the catacombs, these vast tunnels under Rome. They want to bury, you know, Khrushchev used to say, we will, remember Khrushchev, Nikita? Remember him? We will bury you! Well, now the Pope wants to do it. They'd like to fill that whole thing up with dead Christians, if they could. God's in charge, however. Oh, you didn't think the Vatican was Christian, did you? They are far, far from it. See, I'm still a Protestant, always going to be one, because I got something to protest about. I don't believe in their doctrine. I believe in repentance, not auricular confession to a priest. I believe in baptism in Jesus' name, not sprinkling water on somebody's head. That's no burial. Buried with him in baptism. When you go to the cemetery, you don't see all the people laid out with dirt sprinkled on their forehead, do you? They put them under the ground. So we're buried with him in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. We've received the resurrection power, and therefore we do not fear. Listen, this world had better fear. If they don't know the Lord, they got something to fear. But when we obeyed the gospel, one man said to me one time, I can't do that because I got too many things I'd have to give up. I said, no, there's only one thing you've got to give up. Just one thing. Could you give up one thing? Well, maybe. You know, one thing. You got to give up going to hell. You know what that means, don't you? It means you got to live right. Come on. And when you give up going to hell, you give up a whole lot of other things because it goes with the territory. Everything that pertains to hell. So we need to understand that. Now, here we have Moses in Egypt. Sometimes I kind of feel like we're in Egypt and Babylon. If I look around at all the symbology and our government buildings and everywhere, it seems like we're in Egypt, in Babylon, in Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Had you noticed the government buildings, all the Roman symbols, all the Grecian architecture and all this? Why is that there? Why all the wasted space? Oh, by the way, they confirmed Sotomayor for a lifetime appointment at the Supreme Court, so she's probably out celebrating chewing on pig's ears. That's what she likes to do. She said it's her favorite thing is to sit there and watch that program Law and Order. I've never seen it. It's on the Idiot Lantern some night of the week. I don't know when, but she watches Law and Order and chews on pig's ears and pig's intestines and pig's feet. And she has this aversion to pigs. Well, where did the demons go into? Okay, enough said. Anyway, so here we have, can we call that guilt by association or can we make that more direct? It's amazing. This woman, and what she eats is one thing, but I'm telling you, what bothers me is what she believes. She wants to kill babies. She is very, very much into La Raza, the race, which is communistic. And all this political stuff going on, I'll tell you what, the more I look at this, the more I see the coming of the Lord. Amen. Now, it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why did they have to hide him? Because Pharaoh had made the decree that all male children were to be killed at birth. As they were being born, they were to be killed. You know what that's called? Partial birth abortion. All right? Pharaoh said, as they're being born, kill them. Partial birth abortion. And, you know, with this new health thing, it's stagnated right now in the Senate. But Obama's health plan offers totally free abortions even into the third trimester, and it'll come out of your tax dollars. Anybody who wants an abortion, they pay nothing. Kill the babies wholesale is what he's saying. Isn't that terrible? That's no health plan. That sounds like something out of some concentration camp, gulag, stalag, whatever. Death chambers, you see? And down here at the University Hospital in Madison, the same operating room where they do other surgeries, they're killing babies right and left. And voted to do it. It was protested, but that's they, you know, this is, as Jesus said to the crowd that came to take him, I was daily with you in the temple. So I was right out in the open, and no man laid a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. I present to you in the United States, this is Satan's hour, and it's the power of darkness. But it won't last long. When states are selling their Capitol buildings, when states can't even write checks, they write IOUs, never take an IOU. Because it's worthless. IOU. I'll give you a little piece of paper. They're not honoring those anymore either. It is, they'll tell you it's getting better and better and better. Where? Right. Tell it to the people walking the streets. You know, we understand what's going on. We understand who took over, why this is happening. The power of Antichrist is rising up. Socialism is rising up. The doctrine of Marx and Engels has risen up, has seized upon our country. It's all done by plan and by design. And I won't get into too much of that tonight because we want to finish Hebrews 11. But Moses faced many of the same things we face. And there was a Pharaoh back there that said, kill the babies. I don't think it's any coincidence that Barack Hussein Obama saved his primary speech not that long ago, what is it now, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, saved his primary speech that he wanted to make on his tour over there for the Egyptians. Because the nation of Egypt awarded him the title of Pharaoh. All right? And he gave the decree to kill the babies. Is this a sign of the end or what? Quite obviously. And we know that every time a government has decreed openly and made a campaign out of killing babies, there was a divine, sovereign move of the Spirit of God. There was back here in Egypt. Once that decree was made, God raised up a deliverer, Moses. And when Herod decreed to kill the babies right after Jesus was born, remember he made that decree? From 2 years old and under, kill all these male babies. Kill them. Isn't that terrible? That was at the time of the first coming of the Lord. Now they're killing them again. That's a sign of his second coming. I personally don't understand how anybody can do it. How can these so-called doctors murder these babies all day long, and then go home and have a nice supper and relax in the evening and sleep well at night? You have got to be demon-possessed through and through many times over to do it. And they are. And there are some, not all, but some medical schools that before they will graduate you, you will have to have performed at least one abortion. Or you don't graduate. Required course, murder. Isn't that terrible? Now, that's not all of them, but some of them do. Anyway, here's Moses. And it says that he was hid 3 months because he was slated for death according to the decree of Pharaoh. because they saw he was a proper child. And of course, his mother, of course, looked at him, and mothers always love their babies. Right? God put that in them. And I personally think all babies are beautiful. Some even a little more than others when they're your own. See, then they're always a little more beautiful. But anyway, so she saw he was a proper, meaning a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now that's the way we ought to be. In other words, are we so blind, foolish, and ignorant that we would obey everything the state says? I got a letter this week from a man who has some kind of a mission out in Pennsylvania. He calls himself a missionary. And he said that we are to obey the government in no matter what they tell us. Now, I'll tell you something. If that be true, and it isn't, then this country has no right to be here. Because this country rebelled against the King of England. He was the king. These were colonies. And we rebelled against the king. Where was Romans 13 then? They had no right to rise up against that king. They had no right to fight a battle at Naseby Field or Marstead Moor. Right? And later on at Lexington and Concord. The American Revolution really started in England at Marstead Moor and at Naseby Field when they rose up against the king, Oliver Cromwell. So if that be the case, then it's a chain reaction of people rising up against the king right and left and all the time. No, it's quite clear in the Word of God. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Now, the higher powers, let's put it this way, the powers that be, it says, are ordained of God. But what are the qualifications to be ordained by God? Swindling? Baby killing? Does God ordain that? To ordain the government, he has to ordain everything the government's doing. It simply means he allows that government to be there, but it does not qualify as a godly government. By their fruits ye shall know them. We are never to put our soul in subjection. Our soul, come on, our eternal soul subject to government? We're not here to rise up against them and tear them down and be anarchists and cause violence. No, God tells us to not do that. But you don't give your soul. Be not the servants of men. And they got a bad law, we don't obey the bad law. Right? There is a push right now by some of these Obama appointees to have mandatory abortion in this country. You can have one child, but no more. Now, there will be an uprising. People say, it could never happen here. Let's hope not. But it happened in some countries. Red China, and it's still red. It's just as red as it ever was. I was at the UN one time, and I was talking to this Chinese woman who was our guide, taking us around to all the places. And I said to her, you're from Red China. She said, no, I'm from China. I said, no, I think you're from Red China. And she looked at me, and she said, why don't they call it red anymore? She said, well, the Cold War is over. The war is over. So where did the red go? Where did the redness go to? It's still there. Of course, it came over here too. So I told her, no, I said, is it still communist? Yeah, then it's red. They don't like you to think that way anymore. That's old-fashioned. Anybody who's my age or older, we remember old Nikita Khrushchev pounding his shoe on the table. Remember? He used to sit there at these diplomatic meetings and he had a bottle of vodka. And everybody would be drinking, and all of our politicians had their bottle with them too. Can you imagine that? Never leave home without it, right? Everybody's, do you ever see those pictures? They're sitting there with their bottle, a big fifth at least. And Khrushchev was drinking and drinking. He didn't tell them, but he had it watered down to the point where it was about 25% vodka, the rest was water. and they were getting ready to keel over, and he was still up and going, you know. Like, how can he hold that much liquor? It was mostly water. It was a show-off. Then he kept his shoes on his feet. He reached down and he had a shea case that he brought with him. He had a third shoe in there. That's the one he used to pound on the table. Bang, bang, we will bury you. And he's growling and grumping around and raising his arms and waving them. And everybody's supposed to sit back and, oh, this guy is so aggressive. Well, it's all for a big show. Because the guy who was really running the whole show there was a man by the name of David Rockefeller. If you recall your history, when David Rockefeller took a vacation for 2 weeks, where does the number one capitalist go on vacation? He went to the Kremlin for 2 weeks, to the place where the enemy of capitalism is, right? You wouldn't go there, would you, if you're the number one capitalist, go to the Kremlin? And then when he came back home, Khrushchev was ousted. Now, some might say that's a coincidence, but I think that the boss showed up at the outpost and fired the branch manager. These guys are all in one big club together. This is one big Egypt right now. This is one big Babylon. All the empires with all their idols, all their false gods, it's all here in America. You might say, but they don't worship false gods. Oh, wait a minute now. Look at the statues in the Capitol building. And people walk in there, go down to Madison sometime. They walk in there and look at that rotunda and look, what are they doing? They're awe-stricken. This is our capital. This is our state. Whoa, this is our government. I see it all the time. I've been in there many times, and they're just moved by this striking idolatry, I'll call it. Paintings and statues and zodiac on the ceiling and all this stuff. Folks, we live right in the middle of it. So did Moses. Moses was there. And let's see how this worked out. So they hid him. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Never be afraid of the king's commandment. That means they were not afraid to disobey it. See, they want to strike fear in you. Just don't let them get away with it. You know, really, isn't it supposed to be a government by the people, for the people, of the people? Aren't we their boss? By the way, if you ever get an opportunity, take a good hard look at Rahm Emanuel. You will have looked in the face of Satan himself. That man is so dark and vile in his appearance. It is unbelievable. I saw him on the news, on the computer. I was checking some news. And you look in his eyes and you can see hell. I'm telling you. I challenge you. If I'm wrong, let me know, but I don't think so. So really, let's not be afraid of the king's commandment. Let's do the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Our souls are subject to the higher powers, that of heaven. We're not here to overthrow. We're here to obey God. We will not obey evil edicts. All right? Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused. Oh, I like that. He refused. Did you ever refuse anything? Did you ever get these salesmen come on the phone or something and they try to get you to buy something and you refuse it and they won't take no for an answer? And you keep refusing it, refusing it, refusing it, and they keep going and going and going. Well, thank God for the hold button. Could you hold on a minute and just go back to what you're doing? They'll go. Huh? If they can't understand no, then use the hold button. But you got to get out of there somehow. They are determined to sell you. Now, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter fell in love with him when she saw him floating in a basket among the reeds in the Nile River. And she had gone down there to take a ritual bath. The Egyptians believed that the Nile River was the female element that brought every blessing and fertility and all kinds of wonderful things. And so they would do a ritual bath in the Nile. Now, she saw him. She heard him cry. She fell in love with him and brought him home. But before she could take him, his sister was watching in the distance, Miriam. And she ran over and said, "Do you want me to get a nurse for him to take care of him? See how God works it out?" Moses lived right in the palace of Egypt, and his own mother became his nurse. And while he was growing up and learning all the ways of Egypt in that Egyptian school, oh, and by the way, did you know they taught evolution in Egypt? That's nothing new. That didn't start with Darwin. You've heard of Charles Darwin. Most people think he came from monkeys. Actually, he came from whales. But anyway, should I do this or not? My wife is a distant relative of his. Did you know that? She is. Distant relative of Charles Darwin. But I'll tell you what, there's no monkeys in my family tree. None whatsoever. Now, they taught evolution in Egypt. They taught that there was evolution from that the lice and so forth actually turned into flies. The flies later turned into frogs. See, that they actually, there are engravings that show where they taught that. So what did God send them? Lice and flies and frogs. He sent them their own beliefs as plagues. See, they watched the frogs eat the flies. They thought, well, flies must become frogs. Maybe that's where that old saying comes from, you are what you eat. Huh? You know, if you eat a lot of beef, you become a big fat cow, you know? Eat a lot of pork, you become a pig. What happens if you eat a lot of bologna? Huh? That's the number one fair in Washington, I think. But anyway, you know, we need to look at some of these old beliefs. They're not new. They're very, very old. And so Moses learned all the ways of Mithraism and all the religion of Egypt, symbology, names of the gods and goddesses. He knew all of that. But his mother, thank God for his mother, homeschooled him. Amen? Taught him the right way. Prayed for him. You know, do you ever get concerned about your children and grandchildren? God hears those prayers. If you are a grandparent or a parent, you have a special privilege of praying before God. He hears your prayers because this is his will for you to pray for those children and grandchildren and to help them. And you can't have a better friend than a praying mother and father and a praying grandmother and grandfather. God knows how to rescue those children. They'll be all right. God will take care of them. Just never quit. Amen? You know, there was a woman came into a church one time. This pastor that I know was saying this. And she was 50 years old. No, 59 years old, almost 60, I think it was. And she came in, and at the end of the service, tears filled her eyes. She came up to the front, she knelt down, began to cry out to God, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. The pastor went up and said, "Do you know what happened to you?" "Yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Why do you think that happened?" She said, "I've got a praying mother." Said, "How long has your mother been praying for you?" And she turned and she smiled with the tears still running down her face. She said, 50 years. Every day for 50 years. And she called home and told her, "Mom, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And they baptized me in Jesus' name. 50 years! God hears those prayers. And He will come through. You know, when God begins to move, it doesn't take Him very long. We do everything by procedure. We plan it out in our mind. It's going to take X number of hours or days or weeks to complete a project of any kind. But with God, He speaks the word and it happens. He's never late. We just think He is. That's our perception. God is never late for anything. He's always right on time. You might think, well, something better happen pretty soon. I'm down to the wire here. The Lord knows. He's right there with you. He's the keeper of time. He holds time in His hands. We get a little anxious sometimes, a little concerned. A little, well, maybe it's more than concern. Maybe it's worry. Oh, we never worry, do we? Just like we never get stubborn. Nobody here ever gets stubborn, do they? We get tenacious. Tenacity is a virtue. Stubbornness is a fault. But it all comes out the same. It's called bullheadedness, right? But what we need to do is just yield to God. Never treat God like you treat other people, but always treat other people like you would treat God. Now think about that. You wouldn't go and argue with God and criticize Him and complain and spit and sputter and be mad. You know, no man has hardened himself against God and prospered ever. Yield to Him. You will find He will hear and He will answer your prayers. So, here's Moses, brought up in all the ways of Egypt. Now, as he grows up, he comes to the point where he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made. What if you were in his place? A prince in Egypt. Wealthy, could have anything you want. All the money. All the best things. He turned it all down. He turned it all down. He refused all of that. Praise the Lord. And you know, in Egypt, among their writings on papyrus, their old records, archaeologists have studied this. The archaeologists found that there was a prince in Egypt right at about this time. They can date it through who the pharaoh was. And you had all of these pharaohs like King Tut and Ramesses and these various ones. But they found that there was a great prince in Egypt, a man of great valor, highly respected, and he was stricken from all records. Who could that have been? A prince, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, by adoption, but he turned it away. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You see that? Affliction with the people of God. If you go out and you work a job, of course we are interacting in this economy. Doesn't mean we're cooperating with it. Cooperation and interaction are two very different things. You know, if you look at, for instance, people say, well, I can't buy any more gasoline because the Illuminati owns all the companies. Well, then you're not going to drive. I can go to the gas pump and I can buy it and pump it in there and go and pay the money. But I'm not going to stand in front of the gas pump and worship it. I'm not going to give my heart to the gas pump. You'd put me away, wouldn't you? Oh, great gas pump. Oh, great oracle. Huh? Fill my vehicle. No. There are people who will worship the system. Worship means to give your heart. You can interact. I absolutely despise the system. I can interact with it without ever giving my heart to it. I'm not giving my soul and cooperation to it at all. And that's where some people get confused. Yes, we suffer affliction as the people of God. And that is far better, as Moses found in verse 25, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Does the Bible say there's pleasure in sin? Yeah. Sure it does. The pleasures of sin, but for a season. Once you're a Christian, you can't find pleasure in sin. And isn't that a good thing? Isn't it? Because if you get involved in it, God convicts you, breaks your heart, tears you inside out, because He loves you. And you repent and get right. And give it to the Lord and let it go and don't do it anymore. Isn't God awesome? But that's the way it works. You got to let go. Let God have His wonderful way. There are pleasures in sin, but only for a little while. And that's the way it always is. Remember, they used to have cigarette advertising all over the place all the time. Remember that? Salem and Newport and Benson and Hedges and all these different... You know, when I was young and stupid, I was 14 years old, I spent 3 years as a smoker, 14 to 17. Newport, menthol, that'll rot your lungs quicker than anything. When I was 17, I quit. Threw them away, that was it, no more. I wasn't even a Christian yet. I just didn't want to be bound to those things. Well, one of the reasons I got so mad is when I started, they were 20 cents a pack. Penny a cigarette, you know. 20 cents a pack, they went up to a quarter and I got mad. How much are they now? Aren't they around $5? More than that? And people buy them by the carton? Walking out with cartons of these things. Chopped up weeds. And you know what? They used to have these billboards up there. Salem, take a puff, and it's springtime. I remember somebody giving me one when I was first starting out, and I took a puff. It wasn't springtime. Huh? It wasn't springtime. They were lying to me. They always, that's the way advertising is. They want to sell you a car. What do? They put the car out there, put a naked woman on the top. That's not going to make the engine run any better. What are they doing? Oh, have this car and all the women will be chasing you down the street. They all want to ride in it. Put this high karate on or this stirrup and saddle and this fancy. These men, they have all these bottles. Talk about vanity. Different kinds of cologne. You have to fight the women off. Huh? Well, then don't wear it. You don't want that to face that kind of trouble, do you? Whew. What a world. And by the way, a lot of that, those fragrances and the makeup and all this stuff came from Egypt. It originated there. Now, you know, I realize that people get older and they try to keep looking younger. I'm going to get in trouble here, but I think, you know, the women do more of that than the men. Look, you can only paint the old barn for so long. Right? You can paint the barn for a while. But eventually, it's going to go down. So, accept it gracefully. Turn it over to God. It's okay if you look a little older. There's nothing wrong with snow on the roof. I don't even have any shingles left up there. But, you know, if your hair turns kind of white or silvery, praise the Lord. Amen. Look at Ted here. He looks very dignified. Got that nice silvery hair there. Hey, that looks good on him, doesn't it? I'll never have that. Mine fell out. I got 8 children. I lost it. Anyway, my dad used to say you can't have hair and brains both. I can accept that. Isn't that right, Arnie? Amen. I'm just cruising for a bruising here. Somewhere I'm going to get one. But anyway. So, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, and that pleasure expires, doesn't it? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he looked ahead. Oh, that people would look ahead. When you look ahead and you can see, hey, there's trouble up there. There's an end to this. I'm not going to live in this flesh forever. As David said in the Psalms, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We're just here for a little while and they can pull the plug anytime. Like one old guy said this, I used to work at Four Wheel Drive up in Clintonville in the paint shop up there. And we had all these other guys in there. A lot of them are pretty old, you know. And one of them says, yep, I don't know how long I'll be here. He said, when they pull that card up there, you're done. To him, it was like he was working the factory so long. You punch in, you punch out. He said, when they punch you out up there, you're gone. That was his philosophy. Mine is, when the Lord calls you, you go to glory. Amen. So, verse 27 says, by faith. Watch this now. Here's what you and I need to do. Simply believe God. Absolutely nothing doubting. And you'll see he's a miracle worker. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Remember how he went over and to Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, somebody needs to do that for Obama if you get close enough. Thus saith the Lord. Let my people go. Well, you know, there are a lot of analogies in the Bible, but remember how God prepared Moses? Moses was out in the wilderness, and God told him to take his rod. Remember the story? Throw it down. It became a serpent. And then he was able to pick it up and became a rod again. That'd take a test of faith, wouldn't it? To reach down and pick up a serpent? I was talking to Sue earlier, being from Thailand. I asked if she had snakes over there. She said, oh yeah, you know, they come right into your garden. Poisonous reptiles. Not for me. She said, though, a lot of them run away because people eat them. They can have them. No snake on my menu. I was in Seattle one time in a supermarket out there, and they were selling rattlesnake. I wondered what it was. It was all coiled up in the freezer, all skinned out and everything. What? Big rattlesnake. People buy those and slice them up, cook them. I mean, why bother? There's other things. Right? But here, Moses, when he was sent to where Pharaoh was, he took his rod and threw it down before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. So the Egyptian magicians took their rods and threw them down, and they became serpents. Here's the difference. Those magicians in Egypt were pulling a magic trick because their rods were really serpents to start with. It was the brown Nile viper. And they would catch the snake behind the head very quickly and push on the nerves at the base of the snake's skull, and it would paralyze the snake and it would stiffen out, and they looked just like a stick. Their color looked like a stick. And they could take that serpent and hold that nerve and literally tap it on the floor. And you couldn't tell the difference unless you were right up to it. And so they mastered that art of doing that. And they'd throw it down, and of course the pressure would come off the nerve and it'd be slithering around. And they were able to get close enough to it. They must have been pretty good at it. And they grabbed it behind the head and stiffened out again. But then they saw what Moses did. What did God tell him to do out there in the wilderness? Now, take it by the tail. You know what would happen if you grab a poisonous snake by the tail? You had it. When they saw that, they said, it's the power of God. Besides, it ate up all of their snakes. Such a miracle. So God was with Moses in this palace. And he, by faith, forsook Egypt. And it says, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you see the invisible? It takes special eyes to do that, eyes of faith. You can see God in faith. Blessed is he that has not seen and yet has believed. Why? Because you have to have faith to see God. Amen. You don't literally look at him, these eyes can't see him. But you know he's there, and you have the perception of him, and he reveals things to you. He said, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Hey, I occasionally see a vision, but I haven't been dreaming much lately. Maybe I'm still young. Doesn't matter, does it? Now, verse 28 says, through faith, he kept the Passover. Remember, they put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel up above? What pattern does that form? In every house, there was the image, spiritually, of Jesus Christ nailed to the cross. Blood on each side and at the top. All right? In every home, there was the power of Calvary. And the Lord, as the old saying goes, how much does God love us? This much. Do you ever tell your children that? Do you love me, Mommy? This much. How about Jesus? How much does he love us? And you know, when they crucified these prisoners, they always had them facing south because that's where the sun was, moving from west to east in the southern sector of the sky. That means one hand was facing east, the other west. How far has he removed our sins from us? As far as the east is from the west. That's how far he's taken our sins from us. So yes, the blood was on the doorposts and on the lintel, but not to be put on the threshold because you never tread the blood of the Son of God underfoot. All right? So he kept the Passover. God used it. God preserved Israel. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Here's Israel going out. Now, they stood by the Red Sea, and they didn't think they could do it. This is one of the great paradoxes of the Bible. Those who didn't think they could, did, and those who thought they could, couldn't. But Moses, lifting up his rod, crying out, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The waters rolled back. And some of these modern Bible teachers say, well, that was nothing. It just was shallow there, and it rolled back a little bit. Hey, well, that would have been quite a miracle then, because all that water came rushing in and killed the Egyptians. No, it was a Red Sea. It opened up. The water stood up, it says in the Psalms. And they went out and crossed over, and when the Egyptians tried to do it, God worked another miracle. He knocked all the wheels off their chariots at the same time. And there they were out in the sea, horses trying to drag those metal chariots, those heavy rigs, no wheels. And God caused the waters to come in and destroy all the enemy. You know what the Bible says? That is a type of baptism. Read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Once they were across the Red Sea, and those waters came in again, it cut off the enemy. There are those that say, well, I've accepted the Lord. But they know there's something missing. Yeah, the army of Egypt's right behind you, pressing on you. But once you go through that Red Sea, that water baptism in Jesus' name, read it in 1 Corinthians 10. It tells us it's a type of baptism. They're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Water and spirit. That's what cut the Egyptians off. That is what will cut the demons off in your life. When you take the name of Jesus Christ, they're going to have trouble from now on. And we're on the other side, ready to sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Remember Revelation chapter 15? They stood upon the sea of glass and they sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb. We've been rescued. We made it over. They can't follow where we have gone. Demons cannot follow where you have gone. Oh, they can threaten. They can give you all kinds of grief and trouble from a distance and through other people. But they cannot follow where you have gone. They've been cut off by that baptism. Isn't that awesome? So they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Remember, God told them, march around the city once every day. At the seventh day, march around it 7 times. The city of Jericho was a massive city with massive walls. But when they marched around it the 7th time and they blew their trumpets and shouted, the walls came down, didn't they? Come on. Through obedience to God, you'd be surprised what God would do through your prayers. Prayer is powerful when you have faith. We're challenged. You know, we have all these challenges against you. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get that job. You know, this isn't going to happen. Failure, 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 failure. Hey, the devil is not worth listening to. We listen to God. And every word of the Lord is yea and amen. The devil's saying, you got symptoms. You got symptoms. You're not going to get healed. You got all these symptoms. I still believe God. I believe God more than the symptoms. And give the symptoms to God.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Now listen as I move through this, and I'll bring this all together in a few minutes. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. Here was a harlot working in the city of Jericho, but because she received the spies of Israel with peace, God blessed her, saved her soul, brought her into the very bloodline of the ancestry of the flesh of God. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, all these great men of faith. We read about these things in the Bible, but they were men and women just like you and I, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Someday you can ask Daniel about that when you get up there. Amen. Quenched the violence of fire. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Escaped the edge of the sword. Of course, David did that many times, didn't he? Out of weakness were made strong. Sometimes when you're feeling weak, remember this. God's able to make you strong. You know what he builds your strength on? When you become conscious of the fact that you're weak, then God can give you his strength. If you think you're strong on your own, that's all you've got. We must perceive that we are weak. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh, faith is powerful. Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember Elijah and Elisha? Remember what Jesus did for the widow of Nain, for the daughter of Jairus, for Lazarus? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see, really, that is what matters, isn't it? The resurrection. I've talked to some people and they say, well, we can't leave the Lutheran Church or we can't leave the Catholic Church. Who's going to bury us? Or the Methodist or whatever. Did you ever hear somebody say that? Who would bury me? I always tell them, well, somebody will. Don't worry about who's going to bury you. You better be concerned about who's going to resurrect you. You see? And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Of course, I think of my Savior immediately. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Think of Paul. He was in prison much of the time that he was the evangelist to the Gentiles. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Boy, we don't have it so bad, do we? Things get to us sometimes, but we don't quite have it so bad. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You know what? Before I read the last couple of verses, I want to say this. Jesus was touched with a feeling of all their infirmities. All these that suffered all these things, Jesus suffered with them. And he took it all to his cross. All of these sufferings were on the cross with him. All of it. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched by those feelings. When you're hurting, he feels it. And when Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting Jesus when he persecuted the people of the Savior. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You see, it was still in the future. God's going to put it all together at the end. The last verse says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, it's incomplete. We're all in this thing together. We have a fellowship with all of these great martyrs, apostles, those who suffered so much. We have the same Savior. He felt their infirmities and your infirmities on the cross. Next time you're suffering pain or trouble, talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I know you felt this for me. You're in this thing with me. Would you just take it away and give me strength to bear it and help me with this? Don't complain. Give it to Jesus. Let faith operate, and God will do wonders for you. Amen. We're going to conclude. We have a baptism to do. I urge you to stay for the baptism if you can. And we're going to ask our dear friend Bill to prepare for that right now. Now, did you bring extra clothes, Bill? Okay. And if you want to, you can put a robe over that too. We have baptismal robes, your choice, if you want. Vicki will show you where they are. They're downstairs. Yeah. And she can show you where to change and everything. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to conclude here, and we're going to do that with a prayer. Shall we pray together? Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for thy word tonight. Help us, O God, to walk in the power of it, to rejoice in the truth of it, to believe thee for all these things. We know this world is so evil, and we're challenged even just living here. But Lord, thou wilt help us, and thou art with us at all times. Now I pray that faith would be great in the hearts of thy people, that thou wouldst give us all strength. Help us to walk in the newness of life that thou hast called us unto. Let great miracles take place among thy people. Lord, we give up every sickness and infirmity to thee tonight. Amen. We ask that thou wouldst take it, O Lord, as thou didst bear it through the stripes that thou didst receive. Let thy people be healed and blessed. Even all who have faith, may their hands be lifted unto thee to glorify thee, O God, and to receive thy miracle. And, O Lord, I pray for all the other needs that we have, whether it be employment or any kind of thing that is needed in this life, all the things that are necessary, God, help us, I pray. Let thy will be done. We glorify thee, O God, our King. And we ask in Jesus' name that Satan be driven out with all of his doubts that he brings to us, and let faith prevail. Amen. And, O Lord Jesus, let thy name be glorified and exalted. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. There's a little chorus.